Welcome to episode 102 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brzeski. Alan Olson is he's everywhere, people. Everywhere. He's in Nebraska or something. I don't know.
Live from Bismarck, North Dakota, in a lovely town.
We'll get right to it, and hopefully this will be a short episode this week. Vijay Singh walked 72 holes, finished well over par. I think he shot even par in the last round, 16 pars, a birdie and a bogey. He said he wanted to make it very easy for his final round scorekeeper. Kept it very easy for him so he couldn't make a mistake and get disqualified. Good thing he didn't, too, because Camilo Villegas ends up winning. We'll get to that in a bit. But Singh finishes all 72 holes without being disqualified or withdrawing, so he wins the $10 million FedEx Cup.
I think the title of the the story we'll link to, Lackluster Finish, pretty much says it all. He shoots 9 over, comes in 22nd place.
And foregone conclusion, yeah.
Yeah, and he gets a big, heavy check and a kind of weird, awkward trophy presentation.
Yeah, it was like an hour before the end of play, and it was a bit funny.
Yeah, it was like Fitchum had somewhere else to be, but nonetheless, he gets a nice, big, shiny trophy, $9 million up front, $1 million later. Hopefully, yeah. He didn't put it in the stock market, and yeah. we move on.
I didn't see him kiss the cup either, but that's neither here nor there. And the FedEx Cup is taking a lot of lumps for, you know, a lackluster finish, but really, you know, you wouldn't have expected Vijay Singh to win twice, just as you wouldn't have expected Camilo Villegas to win twice out of the four events, but that's later again. You know, you wouldn't have expected Vijay Singh to win twice. And last year, Tiger, you know, he finished second or whatever to Phil, and then he won, and that was pretty much locked up too. So I think somewhere between the two is the sweet spot. You know, they might have over-tweaked this year. Last year was a little too docile. This year was a little too much movement, a little too volatile. Somewhere in the middle, they'll get it. What, Vijay Singh suddenly putts like a maniac and, you know, wins and stuff. So, you know, Sergio Garcia finishes like second and loses in like four playoffs in a row or something. It seems like, you know, it was a weird four tournaments. You know, I think the FedEx Cup's getting a bit of an undue rap for being boring. But really, I mean, how often have we had like two players winning back-to-back events? Sergio Garcia finishing second in just about all of them. You know, it's a bit odd.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, and odd's probably the best way to put it. I mean, players that you had, you didn't expect Vijay Singh to win twice. I think they showed a stat on Saturday. They showed a graphic where his last, I don't know, 10 tournaments, he's either won or missed the cut.
Right.
So, I mean, he's the last guy on the planet. Especially,
and he would have missed the cut at the Tour Championship if there was a cut.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, misses the cut or wins. Sergio, you know, second every stinking week. I mean,
And Camilo Villegas would have won the FedEx Cup if he had made the cut. He missed the cut by one shot, I think, in the first PGA Tour event, the first of the FedEx Cup series. That cost him, I think, about 2,000 points, and he only finished about 551 points, I think, or 451 points behind Vijay Singh. So that right there cost him the FedEx Cup. Of course, Vijay Singh might have had a little more motivation to not just finish 72 holes. So, you know, it might have turned out differently. But that miscut, you could say, might have cost him. But he did win twice in a row, back-to-back, for his first two PGA Tour wins.
Yeah.
Kind of impressive, although, especially following a double bogey and a bogey on the 6th and 7th hole on Sunday, although it was handed to him a bit because Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, and Anthony Kim, I don't know if they were out of gas having played in the Ryder Cup or what, but they just couldn't get birdies.
Yeah, I mean, well, hats off to Camilo for winning. You know, probably, I mean, for as much as we've bagged on him before as far as not being able to putt, you know, he's supposedly one of the bright stars of the tour and hasn't done anything. All of a sudden, he wins two of the prestigious, you know, events of the entire year. And he played well. I mean, for him to have won two in a row, that's probably more shocking than Vijay suddenly turned into a putting machine. You know, Sergio, probably one of the bigger stories, though. I mean, here he blows a 54-hole lead again.
He was up by a good amount, too. He was up by 3. He was 8 under. Finished the day at 7 under. Camilo Villegas at one point, I think, was 5 or 6 strokes behind Sergio on the day.
Yeah.
Garcia's not had a great run. We have a stat here. The last 15 months, going back to the Open Championship in 07, in his playoffs or final day pairing. In the Open in 07, he obviously lost the playoff to Padraig Harrington. He won the Players' Championship in a playoff against Paul Guidos, but that was kind of handed to him when Guidos dunked his ball in the first playoff hole there. He lost the PGA Championship. He lost the Barclays in a playoff to Vijay Singh. He lost his Ryder Cup singles match and didn't play well all week. And he lost the playoff in the Tour Championship. So he's been snake-bitten, much more so recently.
And that's putting it mildly. And the thing is, he's gotten better. he's actually playing better.
Well, you have to be better to get in that many playoffs.
Yeah, he's getting in the playoffs. He's putting better. He's playing better, but he continues to lose.
His shots in the playoffs haven't been great. His shot in the Ryder Cup was not that great. You know, and his first tee shot there in the playoff, they started on the 18th hole. He missed that thing way right, when all you got to do is hit the green and try to two-putt and maybe get to the 17th hole or something. So not a good effort in the playoff, especially on a hole he had just played. Pretty bad swing there at the Tour Championship. Aside from that, I agree, though. He's getting better. You have to be to get into these playoffs.
And that's
you tie for first after 72 holes. So
yeah, and that's only good for golf. You know, there wasn't a lot of, you know, it was very boring knowing that Vijay was going to win. However, as a golf tournament, it was very exciting. The lead changed every hole. You had three of the brightest young stars, and you had an appearance by Mickelson. It was very good golf. I mean, I didn't even watch football. Of course, my team I can't watch in my market, but at the same time, it was very, very compelling golf to watch.
I like how you made fun of Mickelson real subtly there.
You like that?
Three young stars of golf and Phil. And Phil. Well, one of the young stars might blame a misunderstanding about his tee time. He thought his tee time was 11:55. Anthony Kim's actual tee time was 11:25. So he got there, you know, 15, 25, 30 minutes later than he otherwise would have. Didn't have much time to practice, to warm up. Goes out, beans a spectator who had to be carted off on a stretcher. He's okay. Not a great third round for Anthony Kim, where he shot 72, I believe, two over par. So he fell out of the lead with that round. He was hitting the ball all over the place, all because, perhaps, of a tee time and a misunderstanding. He'd never gotten a rhythm all day.
Yeah, I guess chalk it up to youthful indiscretion, not knowing your tee time, especially when you're in the final group. At the same time, I mean, he did come out and say that his swing was so bad that day, it wouldn't have mattered if he would have had 8 hours to warm up. So whether or not that's true or not, yeah, I mean,
he said he played like a 14 handicapper.
And he did.
I don't know.
I felt good.
There you go. Stick around.
I mark my Titleist with a black dot left of the number, with blue brackets around the Titleist.
First, I black out the number, and then I make the Kelly Green 13.
Un pequeño círculo.
A black line over the Pro V1X.
Black dot over the 9.
For 20 years, a black dot over the tee.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your Titleist.
How do you mark your Titleist?
Our forum topic of the week is Phil Mickelson considering joining the European Tour. This was brought up a few days ago, and there's also an additional article that we'll link to about Phil Mickelson joining the European Tour, or at least considering doing so. Pretty much with all the events he plays already, he's practically a member as is. I really don't see this as that big of a deal. There is the $20 million Dubai payout, and I don't know, maybe he needs to buy another couple houses or something.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I don't think he's looking to join the European Tour and leave the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour season's over. The European Tour season still goes on. We have four majors that all count for European Tour eligibility, which used to be 11 events, but is now 12. That's one of the links we'll link you to. It was just changed recently from 11 to 12. So you have to play 12 events to be eligible for European Tour stuff. Order of merit, winner, scoring average, you know, that kind of stuff. So he's got the four majors. He's got what? There's a Bridgestone, the CA Championship, the match play. I'm probably forgetting another one in there. There's the one in England every year. So he's got at least four or so of the WGC events. I thought there were five. So that gets him up to 8 or 9 already. So he has to play 3 events in Europe. Not too hard.
No, and he usually plays like the Scottish Open and whatnot before the British Open. So, I mean, there's 10, so he's only got to come up with 2 more. I don't think that's too hard for him to do.
How's that work out for him lately?
Not very well.
Yeah, suffice to say, I doubt he's going to play the very Lynx-y style courses.
No.
Even though that might be good for him. He might play the American-style golf courses and try to earn a big chunk of that $20 million.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I can see what it is. You know, he's certainly not hurting for the European purses. We'll talk about this later, but the winner of the last tournament got $300,000, which gets you about 30th place on a PGA Tour event.
But it's Euros.
Exchange rate. Oh, anyway.
That's worth like $4 billion now.
Only if you have AIG stuff. Anyway, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. He's not leaving the PGA Tour. It's just he's going to go for the Dubai money grab. That's it.
Right. I'm entering my Coke Rewards points.
And we'll be right back.
I mark my Titleist with a VJ.
I mark my ball with the Greek symbol for courage, the lambda sign.
I throw my initials on it.
Three crosses around the script.
This is my boy's initials, TP.
I mark my tie list with my initials, holy and orange.
For 20 years, a black dot over the T.
With three black dots.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your tie list.
How do you mark your tie list?
And we welcome you back the same way the winner's circle is welcoming Lorena Ochoa back, who's won six events early in the year and then went AWOL. Several members of her family died in the middle of the year, unfortunately. I think her grandpa and her great uncle, or her grandpa and her uncle, passed away mid-year around the U.S. Open. She didn't play very well in the middle of the year. Finally gets back in the winner's circle with a win in a playoff. It was a playoff weekend, but she plays off against Candy Kung and Christy Kerr, who finished eight groups ahead of her. She makes two pars. Christy Kerr and Candy Kung both three putt consecutively on the same 18th hole, and Lorena Ochoa wins her seventh tournament of the year, making her, I think, the fifth player ever joining some illustrious company to win seven events in back-to-back years.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably the most impressive thing. She's won seven, you know, 2 years in a row. That is, that's pretty unbelievable. You know, pretty select group for that. I can't believe she hasn't played in a month.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. She took a month off, perhaps to get her game back a little bit, because she realized, perhaps, that she was slumping, given, you know, the summer things.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Take a month off and then to come back and win. But how can you three-putt on that? I don't know. I don't understand how you can three-putt on a playoff hole.
They were bad. They were horrible. You know, Christy Kerr had, a 30-footer. And she hit it about 16 feet. I mean, it was up a little slope, but I don't know. And then the other player from almost the same spot did it the second time around playing that hole. It was unbelievable. They had 10 to 15 feet for par after hitting the green. So it blew my mind, but that's what happened. That might be one of her easier playoff wins ever. So
absolutely.
I'm pretty sure I could have made a par and done okay. Speaking of playoffs, again, like I said, Lee Westwood seems to be suffering a bit of a Ryder Cup hangover. Nobody that was in the Ryder Cup won a playoff or did great. You know, they all kind of seemed to peter out there at the end. Gonzalo Fernandez Castano beat Lee Westwood in a playoff in the British Masters on the European Tour.
Kind of surprising that to see that happen. I don't know if there was a hangover from the Ryder Cup or what the deal was, but yeah. Him and his partner both lose, so, well, they can't say they were overtired because they didn't play Saturday morning, but...
Maybe he had blisters.
That could be. Maybe he's still mad about Boo Weekly.
Right. Maybe the crowd was cheering between shots. Last article here is a bit of a grading the Ryder Cup captains. I really don't have much to say. Follow earns a C, that's probably about right. And then Azinger get an A.
He got an A. He would have gotten an A no matter what he would have done, just by the fact of winning. So, no, I think the grades were fair, and you know, how they kind of came up with it. I think their analysis was pretty good. So, yeah, I can't...
In the end, I think Fowler's going to get a bad rap. Sure, he did a little bit to screw with things and to toy with things and to muck things up. But in the end, his players didn't play very well for him. So they're the ones that hit the shots, and they're the ones that ultimately get the responsibility, the blame, the credit. And in this case, the blame. So, whatever. Yeah. That about does it for episode 102 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Check our show notes out, of course, to click all the links and all that jazz. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, fall series.
Silly season. Yay.